Our scripture reading this morning, the very familiar Psalm, Psalm 42. You can find it in your Bible on page 592. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, Where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs His love. At night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. And then I like to read one verse from the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 17. And that is on page 1235, Colossians 3, 17. Whatever you do, whether in word and deed, or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. May the Lord bless His word. His name be praised. Did you ever consider the question, what are the main ingredients in a Christian life? You'll probably say, well, the main ingredients of the Christian life, faith, hope, love, trust. Maybe there are several other ingredients in the Christian life. What about thanksgiving? Or let's say plain gratitude. Plain gratitude is also an ingredient of the Christian life. Yes, you know, gratitude, thanksgiving doesn't always come easy. Suppose it is a time in your life where almost nothing that you hoped for or prayed for seemed to be happening, when it is for you much easier to count your irritations, to count your disappointments, rather than your blessings. When disappointments loom larger than fulfillments in your life. When you get critical with almost everybody, everything. You know, this may be the time, and it may sound strange, this may be the time that you should be thankful, that you should be grateful. I try to illustrate that with an example. As a young minister, I always when I gave an illustration, I read it somewhere in a book. But nowadays, when I give illustrations for my ministry of things that happened in the last 52 years, I was already retired from the active ministry. But after my retirement, I worked for several years in one of our Edmonton churches, Trinity Church, as a pastor for seniors, senior pastor. And next to the church was a senior citizen complex with about 100 units. And every week I made the rounds, and I made the rounds also among the seniors in the church. Now, the oldest gentleman in the church was 102 years old. An old gentleman. His name was Mr. Janssen. And he was still in remarkable good health. One morning he phoned me and said, "Pastor, I would really appreciate it if you could drop in today. I have some concern. I really want to talk to you." We entered his room. I noted that he was very sad. He had been crying. His face was red with tears. And I said, "John, what's your problem? What's the problem?" He said, "You had a call this morning from British Columbia that my son died very suddenly." His son was 78 years old. Well, when you're 102, your children are old too. And he said, "I have no family left. My wife died 7 years ago. My daughter died 5 years ago. And now my son died this morning. And I have no grandchildren. I'm all by myself." We talked about this for a while, and we prayed together. We asked for God's strength, for comfort, for guidance, for his love, his compassion. And after the prayer, he said to me, "Pastor, despite everything, despite all my losses, I'm still grateful to the Lord. I'm still thankful. I was married for 72 years with someone I loved very dearly. Then we had two children who were always very close to us. I'm very thankful to the Lord." When I drove home that day, I thought about that. And I wondered if I would be able to say that after I'd lost my entire family. If I would be able to say I'm still grateful if I lost my whole family. And it would be easier to count my losses than my blessings. Now, this may sound a bit strange to you, but that is precisely the time that I should be thankful to the Lord. Still, the question remains, how can I be grateful to order? How can I pull, so to say, and switch, an inner switch that will make me feel grateful deep inside, if in fact I'm depressed, I'm down in the dumps? We don't live in a country where everyone is overflowing with gratitude to God and to one another. This morning I talked to some of your members, and to one of them I said, there are not many Christians left in our country. 50 years ago, everybody was building new churches, not only the Christian Reformed Church, the United Church, Presbyterian Church. Everybody was going to church. Now, we live in a complex where about 200 units by the Christian school. And when we leave for church on Sunday morning, there are maybe a dozen people that are on the way to church. Most of them are staying home. And there is also an epidemic today of complaints, epidemic of grumpiness about almost everything. People complain more than to give thanks. And since there are many around us who experience difficult time, I decided to speak this morning on the topic, how to be thankful, how to be grateful when I'm not in the mood. Is that possible? Can I be grateful in all circumstances? I believe that is true for you and for me, with the help of God's powerful Spirit. Maybe we have to change some habits. And as Christians, we should take the lead in this and be examples to other people. If we were to develop the habit of saying to ourselves, as we get up in the morning out of bed, even after a poor night of sleep, thank you, Lord, for this new day. Or we open the bedroom curtains or the bedroom windows and were to say or sing, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If we could do so, I believe we would be well on our way to change our whole gloomy mind, our whole gloomy attitude, and be really grateful to the Lord from whom all blessings flow. Then there is something else. There is what I would call the infection of thanksgiving. Just as there is an infection of gloom. We know what an infection is. It can be infected by a virus and become very sick. You can be infected by gloom and be very grumpy. But you can also be infected by thanksgiving. I'll give you an example of that from my own life. The infection of thanksgiving. In my mind's eye, I go back many years when I was still a child, small boy. It was in the fall of the year 1944. That's a long time ago. That was the worst year that we experienced during World War II. There was very little food on the table. We lived in a town called Apeldoorn, twin city of Burlington. And we didn't have much food to eat. We always felt hungry. And we lived in fear because anything could happen. Many people died a violent death. However, the day I remember best was the day of Thanksgiving. We all had gone to church that morning to give thanks to the Lord for his blessings. And the church was filled to capacity. Everybody was in church. People were sitting in the aisles. They were sitting in front of the pulpit. All the seats were taken. Some were standing in the back. It was what we call full house. And I remember the church started. We just started, and we were singing the opening psalm. And during the singing, one of the elders climbed the pulpit, and he whispered something in the ears of the pastor. The pastor frowned and nodded his head. When the organ stopped playing, the pastor said, this will be a very short service. I've just been informed that German soldiers are on the way to all the churches in town to arrest all the men between 16 and 65 because they have to work in Germany for the war effort. And they will all be arrested and put on trains. So we were really flabbergasted. So then the minister gave the blessing, the benediction. Was the shortest service I ever attended. It lasted 5 minutes. As a child, I was really surprised that while the people were frantically rushing home out of the church as soon as they could, the organist started to play a joyful tune on the massive pipe organ. He opened all the stops and played the Dutch version of Now Thank We All Our God, with joyful songs of gladness. As a child, I simply could not understand why the organist could play that song during such a fearful, such an anxious time that people were scared. Yet when we came home, my mother said, despite the circumstances, despite the anxiety, despite the tension, we still have our faith. We still have God's promises in Christ. We still have each other. We still can be grateful. The organist was right to play that hymn, which not only became the Thanksgiving sermon on that day, but also infected us with the spirit of Thanksgiving. On a great day of celebration, say Easter or Christmas, or on ordinary Sunday like today, it might just happen that some special trial has afflicted you, has come to you. It happened to us this morning. 7 o'clock, the telephone rang from the Netherlands, and my wife's younger sister had died quite suddenly. So that was really a hard time to wake up. But it may also be a time of gratitude. Gratitude to God for all the blessings he gave her during her lifetime. And I think the psalmist who wrote Psalm 42 must also have had that experience. He went through the depths. He went through the real depths. This is what he meant when he said, at night his song is with me. He's a man in distress. The refrain of the psalm is, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? He was going through what I call the dark night of the soul. He went through an extremely difficult time in his life when he wrote Psalm 42. Some geographical and historical background will help us to understand this psalm a little better. The psalmist was in the region of Mount Hermon, north of Jerusalem. Well, maybe not that far, maybe 50, 60 kilometers. But in those days, you had no public transportation, so people walked most of the way. So it was a long ways from Jerusalem, from the worship of God's people in the temple. And there at the foot of Mount Hermon, the psalmist longed back for Jerusalem. He remembers the joyous procession to the temple, the feast, the festivals celebrated by God's people, the stirring worship of the Lord that had come to mean so much to him while he was in Jerusalem. Now, what was he doing there by Mount Hermon, so far away from Jerusalem? Many commentators feel that it was most likely a part of a forced march of exiles that were being transferred away from Jerusalem to forced labor in a foreign land. The troubling question in the psalmist's mind seemed to be, how can I find God away from God's people, away from the familiar surroundings of the temple? His enemies taunted him with that question, where is your God now? Where is your God? Does he really exist? Is he really there? Soon it became his anxious question, where are you, God? Are you there? Are you present? He felt panicky. And that forced him to come to grips with himself. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? But then he gave himself a stern talking to with a firm affirmation. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. The psalmist was a man who had trained himself in the discipline of worship. This was a man who knew the infection of a praying and worshiping people. He was infected by it, infected by praise. He remembered even there in captivity his fellow believers. I used to go with the multitude leading the procession to the house of the Lord with shouts of joy, with shouts of thanksgiving among the festive multitude. This is why he was able to hear the song, even during the dark night. The infection of a grateful community was his song in the night. And it's not such a song that we can also hear when we feel imprisoned in our circumstances, circumstances that seem to close all the avenues to thanksgiving. But you know, all our songs for the night are swallowed up in one great name that swells that chorus, Emmanuel, God is in our midst, God is with us. It is Jesus Christ who saves us from our sin. It was God himself who took our place for all time. He suffered for us, for you and for me, so that when we suffer, we might know his limitless love, that he loves us, that he's our Father. And in the night when we pray for relief, we know that song of Emmanuel, let not your heart be troubled. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Remember, our song is not only let when I survey the wondrous cross, that's a beautiful song, but that's not the only song. We also sing, Christ the Lord is risen. Christ the Lord is risen. And then there is something else that also should prompt us to sing when we don't feel like it. And it's very real. We all know that biblical command, rejoice with the ones that rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, it's very curious that we are far more responsive to the first half. We know that it is our duty as Christians, as church members, our duty to sympathize with the ones the Lord puts on our way when they are in trouble. We sympathize with the sick in our church. We sympathize with those that go through difficult times. We try to alleviate their sorrow. We weep with those who weep. But how often do we consider it our duty to rejoice with those that rejoice? When things are going well with us, it's not hard to show compassion to people. If you are really blessed and your life is really good, it's not hard to show compassion with those that are sick, that are in distress. But when we are in distress, we need supernatural strength to enter genuinely into the joy of other people. I don't feel like it, we say to ourselves. Yet God tells us it can be done. And when we make the effort, we come to realize, as never before, that Christian thanksgiving is not ultimately dependent on what may be happening at any particular moment in our life. It is a sharing in the continuous gratitude of the family of Christ for all the gifts of God's grace. When we don't feel like it, it's good to remember that there are no circumstances in your and my life that can block the expression of our gratitude to God. There are no circumstances that can block our gratitude, our thanksgiving to God. For Christian gratitude is in the air we breathe. It is in the food we eat. It's in the family we share. It's even in the church service where we are sitting this morning. But above all, our thanks is to Him who gave Himself for us in His Son, in Jesus Christ. May the spirit of thanksgiving generate such a gratitude in our hearts that also in the days of this week, the days ahead, morning, noon and night, in plenty and in want, in sickness and in sorrow, in sickness and in health, we shall give thanks to Him from whom all blessings flow. And all God's people said, Amen. Our Father and our God, give to us the experience to be a part of that mighty chorus of thanksgiving, so that other people around us, may be drawn in to know your grace, your sustaining power in Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.